papà bambino scicchiera, papà ramano so corse pe, pinne mini andare a chiare pe 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 scicchiera, papà da mahaya, la papà da man so corre man so via so di con ca, le 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 le
The name of the Lord be praised. The name of the Lord be praised. The name of the Lord be praised. Be glorified, mighty God. Be lifted up, mighty God. And the Father, bless your name. Oh God, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, oh God. We praise you, oh God. We praise your name. Oh,
may the praise of our
Ripande de Diandu Shiliki and Arama Haya Lelevisia Brico Padri and Daya. We greet you in the strong name of the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. And today, good afternoon to each and every one of you on this beautiful Wednesday. Glory be to God, February the 4th. We are so glad to be with you. And today, for 60 at noonday. Now, if you were with us on a Monday morning at 5 a.m. I want to sincerely thank Apostle Pastor Matt, Pastor Anthony Cameron for assisting with these noonday hours. Thank you so very much. If you were with us on 5 a.m. on this Monday, you know that we were talking about the river within you. We talked briefly about the river within you. And so we begin to talk about prayer, right? Prayer is often explained as what? Typically communication, right? Which is absolutely true. Prayer is communication. But if we just stop there, it would be incomplete. It would absolutely be incomplete. Am I still muffled? Please let me know.
It's better.
Oh,
Better? All right. All right. I want to make sure that I am clear. So, yes, prayer is often explained as communication, and that is very true, but it is incomplete. And we want to tell the whole story when we're talking about a subject, right? Prayer is communication, but Scripture also presents prayer as participation in God's governance, if you're able to write. I want you to write that down. Prayer is also participation in God's governance. Prayer is how us as human beings, how we cooperate with God's will. Prayer is how we cooperate with God's will until heaven's intent becomes expressed in the earth through a yielded life. I know that was a mouthful, and you may be writing, so let me say that again. We know that prayer is communication, but prayer is not just communication. It is also participation in God's governance. Prayer is how we cooperate with God's will until heaven's intent becomes expressed in the earth. How can it be expressed in the earth? God has to have a yielded life. Are you that life on today? Let me repeat that one more time. Prayer is how we as human beings cooperate with God's will until heaven's intent becomes expressed in the earth through a yielded life. Sometimes we give up too soon. We don't cooperate with God until heaven's intent becomes expressed in the earth. And the only way it can be done is through a yielded life. When we say the river within you, because that's what I was talking about on Monday, we are naming an interior reality that Scripture assumes. The Spirit of God dwells in you as a believer, right? The Word of God, it carries life. The human being is designed to receive and to steward and to release what God provides. If God is in you, then the Word of God you are carrying. And so you are designed not only to receive, we love to say, I receive, but that very thing that you receive, you are to steward over and you are to release what God provides. And so that means prayer is not only something that you do. Prayer is a mode of spiritual existence. It is a way of living before God that it begins to reshape your perception. It begins to strengthen your conscience. It begins to train your authority. So the length in prayer is not being used as a badge of spirituality. Your length in prayer is being treated as a training condition. Some forms of clarity do not arrive quickly, right? Because the mind stays too noisy. It has to be quieted. Some forms of discernment do not surface very quickly because the inner man stays weak until it is strengthened. Some forms of authority do not manifest quickly because conviction takes time to mature. The river is not unlocked by just your intensity alone. It is unlocked by your sustaining engagement with God that allows the Spirit to strengthen you. It allows the Word to govern you, and it allows your will to yield. All right, I hope that's making sense to us today. So prayer, it also reintroduces a believer to the true scale of reality. Let me say that again. Prayer reintroduces us as believers to the true scale of reality. The visible world is real, but it is not final. The spirit realm is active. It is not theoretical. The believer's life is not limited to what can be measured physically, because the believer is joined to God by covenant, and the Spirit of God is present within. And so this is why Scripture treats prayer as essential to our stability, to our maturity, and to spiritual government. So let me take this a little step further. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. I know that we looked a little bit at it on Monday, but I want to view it again because I want to talk about the two lanes of prayer, which is spirit and understanding. Say spirit and understanding. Say spirit and understanding.
Spirit and understanding.
I'm going to talk about two lanes of prayer. I'm not saying that there's just two lanes of prayer. I just want to talk about two. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15 says, I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Okay? That's what it says. If you want to jot that down, 1 Corinthians 14, 15. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So Paul is teaching that prayer includes more than one function. So if something includes more than one function, then it takes on more than one form. Okay? Praying with the spirit. You pray with the spirit, but that doesn't substitute your thinking. It is an act of cooperation with the Holy Spirit in the realm where language is limited. I hope that makes sense to you. Okay? Now, praying with understanding is not less spiritual. Praying with understanding is the alignment of your mind and your mouth and the will with God's truth. Okay? Does that make sense? So praying with the Spirit is your act of cooperation with the Holy Spirit in the realm where language is limited. But praying with understanding is the alignment of your mind and your mouth and the will with God's truth. Okay? Romans 8:26, write that down. Romans 8:26, it says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, this verse is establishing a principle. What is that principle that it's establishing? There are burdens, conflicts, and spiritual conditions that exceed the believer's immediate comprehension. There are burdens, conflicts, and spiritual conditions that exceed the believer's immediate comprehension. The Spirit of God does not wait until the mind catches up before providing help. All right? He intercedes, he strengthens, he labors within the believer in a way that bypasses the believer's present vocabulary. And that is one reason praying in the Spirit is so important. If you didn't know, now you know. Okay? Then the believer also prays with understanding. And this is where scripture is spoken back to God. This is where specific repentance is expressed. This is where declarations and requests are made in very clear language. This is where obedience is articulated and decisions are placed under God's government. All right? So praying in the Spirit strengthens the inner man and it helps you engage burdens that are not yet fully named. That should give somebody some understanding today. Praying with understanding helps you govern your thought life.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Me either.
No. Can you hear me now?
Yes,
we can.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm glad you can hear me now. What was the last thing you heard? Does anybody remember?
Help you govern your thought life.
Say it one more time, just one of you.
helps you govern your thought life. Praying with understanding helps you govern your thought life.
That's right. So when you pray when you pray with understanding, can you all hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, perfect. So when you pray with understanding, it does help you govern your thought life. It renews your mind, and it helps you to speak with accuracy. Now, what I want you to know today is that both lanes belong together. Both. You need to pray in the spirit, and you need to pray with understanding, because the human person is integrated. You have a spirit, you have a mind, you have emotions, and you have a body, and they are all involved in your spiritual formation. All right? When you hear me say, let all dimensions of you, right, be pierced, you might hear me say that. Why? You are many dimensions. You are not just one. You don't just have a physicality. You have a spirit, you have mind, you have emotions, right? All of those are being formed. So I want to give you some simple practices that are going to build your maturity without you being confused. Number one, always begin with worship and surrender. Always begin with worship and surrender. Number two, pray in the spirit to strengthen and to yield control. Okay? Number three, shift into scripture. Don't spend the entire time praying in the spirit. Get that scripture and read it. You can never pray amiss when you're praying the scriptures. All right? Shift into scripture. Read a passage very slowly. Pray that passage directly. Turn it into repentance, into petition, into obedience. And speak clear declarations that align with the text. These are simple practices that are going to build your maturity in Christ. Begin with worship and surrender. Pray in the spirit to strengthen and to yield your control. Shift into scripture. Read that passage very slowly. Pray the passage directly. Turn it into repentance and petition and obedience. And then speak clear declarations that align with the text. Okay? Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel 30 and 6. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, verse number 6. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I want to point out resilience as spiritual formation under pressure. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. A lot of times this scripture is often treated as a line about motivation. But it is a description of spiritual skill. David is not escaping distress. He's still in a lot of pressure, but he is refusing to let distress govern him. Some of us right on this line need to learn that. You may be in pressure, but you got to learn the spiritual skill of refusing to let distress govern you. He returns to the Lord until his internal posture is reset. And that is what resilience looks like in Scripture. Resilience doesn't mean you emotionally numb yourself. It is the ability to keep the will aligned with God while emotions are still being processed. It is our sustained obedience under pressure. It is the refusal to allow crisis to become the primary interpreter of your reality. And this is also why extended prayer matters. Many people experience pressure. We're experiencing it right now. And they attempt to resolve it through quick relief. But the scripture forms people through sustained communion with God. So when you extending prayer, it gives you the space to move from your reaction into spiritual government. So resilience is a trained capacity to remain faithful, to remain clear, to remain obedient in moments of your opposition. You want to be resilient. You want to train your capacity. Resilience grows through repeated return to God. Not through you avoiding conflict. No, repeatedly coming back. We're coming back to God. That's how your resilience is going to grow. Resilience is going to become visible as steadiness of speech. That's how you know your resilience. When you have discipline of thought, that's how you know that resilience is at work. Consistency in your obedience, that's how you know that resilience is at work. I don't have much time. Let me finish here. Hebrews 12 and 22. Hebrews 12, 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and to an innumerable company of angels. Now check this out. This verse should reframe the believer's environment. Okay? This verse alone should reframe our environment. Why? Because as a believer, you are not only located in a natural sense, setting, excuse me. You as a believer are joined to a spiritual reality that Scripture describes with precision. This is going to matter for your peace. Peace in Scripture is a condition of order that comes from covenant relationship with God. Peace is produced when our inner life agrees with God's nature, with God's word, with God's faithfulness. And so that agreement does not eliminate crisis, y'all. It governs the believer in crisis. Peace requires what? Accuracy about what the covenant means. Covenant includes God's commitments to us, right? Not only our responsibility, but it also lists out God's commitment to you. And so when the believer remembers God's character and God's faithfulness, panic loses its legal footing in our mind. So I want you to remember today that peace is not the absence of your trouble. Peace is the internal order that's produced by trust in God's covenant and obedience to his word. How are you going to maintain your peace? Through discipled remembrance, through disciplined speech, through disciplined action. All right? And the last point that I have today, disappointment and unforgiveness as spiritual conditions. Access to God's presence does not remove your human agency. A person can be near holy things and still carry unhealed inner formations. Hear me. And this is why Scripture commands forgiveness. It commands repentance. It commands renewal of the mind. These are choices, but these are also processes. They're not automatic outcomes of proximity just because you're around it. No, these are choices and processes. If I ask everybody on this line, have you been disappointed? You're going to tell me you have. And disappointment can become a spiritual condition when it is held as our lens that we interpret everything through. Unforgiveness can become a spiritual condition when it remains stored in compartments of our soul that were never brought under truth or healing or release. So what I want you to know today is that Forgiveness is not only a statement. Forgiveness is also a dismantling. It dismantles inner agreements that have formed the pain. It dismantles the desire to keep a record of your private prosecution. It dismantles bitterness that has begun to shape identity and decision-making. Sometimes a believer forgives a person and still remains bound to what the actual event that produced the pain. And the unforgiveness. But Scripture allows language for this. There are strongholds. There are patterns. There are gates. There are inner formations that require healing and deliverance and renewal. And this is why prayer must be more than just a single moment of release. Prayer must become a sustained engagement with God where the Holy Spirit can expose and heal and reorder. So remember today. Today at noon, we are not just treating prayer as a segment, a religious segment. No, we are treating prayer as spiritual formation and spiritual government. It's not just about your communication with God. We pray in the spirit and we pray with understanding. We have learned today what pressure is doing for us. It is forming resilience when we return to God until obedience becomes steady in our life. We learn today that peace is covenant order and wholeness sustained by truth and disciplined remembrance. We learned that disappointment and unforgiveness must be addressed as spiritual conditions that require choice, healing, and renewal. The river within you is released when the Spirit strengthens you, when the word governs you, and when the will yields consistently. This should be your spiritual reality today, with measurable fruit in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you today, and we come with reverence, and we come with clarity. We declare that you are holy, you are present, you are faithful. We acknowledge your covenant on today. We acknowledge the indwelling of your spirit in those who belong to you. Father, according to 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, we ask that you train us to pray with the Spirit and to pray with understanding. We reject confusion today. We reject spiritual imitation. We reject prayer that is only habit without engagement. Teach our hearts to yield to you. Teach our minds to be renewed. Teach our mouths to be accurate. Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8:26, we welcome your intercession. We confess today that there are burdens and conflicts we cannot fully name. We confess that our understanding has limits. We ask you to strengthen the inner man today. Build spiritual endurance within us. Purify our motives. Sharpen our discernment. Increase sensitivity to truth, Father. Remove spiritual dullness that makes the word feel distant and prayer feel heavy. Father, we ask for maturity in articulation. Teach us how to speak Scripture back to you with understanding. Teach us how to pray a text until it governs our thinking, our emotions, and our decisions. Teach us how to turn revelation into obedience. Teach us how to recognize when you are calling us into repentance, when you are calling us into intercession, when you are calling us into clear, practical action. Lord, we bring, Lord God, hallelujah, our all to you today. We ask for resilience that is formed in the presence of God. We ask for resilience that keeps the will aligned while emotions are being processed. We reject collapse under pressure. We reject spiritual fainting. We reject cycles where we react first and seek you last. Father, teach us what you taught David according to 1 Samuel 30 and 6. Teach us to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Train us to return to you until our inner posture is reset. Train us to locate your voice above the noise of the moment. Train us to speak life when fear is present, oh God. Train us to obey day when the outcome is not yet visible. We ask for discipline in prayer. We ask for discipline in thought, discipline in speech. Let our resilience be evident in our steadiness, God. Let our resilience be evident in our self-government. Let our resilience be evident in consistent obedience. God, we pray that you would establish peace as covenant order in our lives. Establish wholeness in us, God. Establish inner alignment. According to Hebrews 12 and 22, remind us of the reality we have come into through Christ. We reject isolation in our thinking. We reject interpreting life as though covenant is not real. We reject panic as a ruler in the mind. Father, restore discipline remembrance. Teach us to remember your character. Teach us to remember your faithfulness. Teach us to remember your word. Teach us to remember that you are not fragile and you are not uncertain. Let peace govern our choices. Let peace govern our speech. Let peace govern our responses. Lord, where our peace has been tied to outcomes, untie it today. Where our peace has been tied to approval, untie it today. Where our peace has been tied to control, untie it today. Establish peace as trust and obedience. Establish peace as wholeness that flows from covenant. Father, we bring, Lord God, before you. Lord God, hallelujah, God. We confess, Lord God, that disappointment can live in the heart and distort perception. We bring our hearts before you today. We confess that unforgiveness can remain in compartments of the soul, even when the mind claims release. We ask you to expose what is hidden without shaming us. We ask you to heal what is wounded without leaving us unchanged. In the name of Jesus, we choose forgiveness. We release people from debts we have held. We release the need to rehearse offenses. We release the desire to punish through distance and silence or bitterness. We place judgment in your hands. We ask for healing from what painful events have produced within us. God, we pray that you would heal inner formations, that you would heal strongholds of thought, that you would heal emotional reflexes that were trained through trauma. Heal vows made in fear. Heal bitterness that became familiar. Heal disappointment that has become a lens. Close doors that were opened through wounds, God. Restore integrity in the inner man. Father, we pray, God, that you would lead us into truth, that you would lead us into repentance where needed, that you would lead us into forgiveness where needed, that you would lead us into healing where needed, that you would lead us into renewal where needed. We ask for freedom that includes release and restoration, and we consecrate our prayer life to you. Teach us to stay with you, God. Teach us to pray until the Spirit strengthens us and the Word governs us. Teach us to pray until resilience is formed, till peace is established and the heart is free. We submit to your work in us. We yield to your leadership and we receive your grace. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let the church say amen on today. If you agree, say amen and amen. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The line is open for you today. Amen. If you're able, I know some of you are at work and you're unable to unmute, but for the ones that are and would like to come forth, if this touched you in a mighty way, if this really gave you some perspective, you are more than welcome. If you have a testimony, come on, notable testimonies, we want you to come forth at this time. The line is open. Will there be one today? Thank you, God. Well, amen. I thank God for each and every one of you on today. Thank you for joining us for 60 for 60 at noon. Amen. We pray that you will not forfeit your 20 minutes, amen, with God on tonight before you go to bed. Amen. Make sure you get that time in, that worship in with him. Spend some time with the Lord. Amen. Spend some time with him on today. Amen. And we thank God. Amen. We thank God, amen, that he has given us this opportunity, amen, to build ourselves in our most holy faith. We hope to hear you back here on at noon. I'm sorry, not at noon. We hope to hear you back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Join us and tell someone else about it. Tell someone that we're here at 5. Tell someone that we're here at noon. Know that we love you. We are continuously praying for you, and we bid you more grace. God bless.
More grace.
My grace.
More grace.